This is the Amp Hour Podcast, recorded Tuesday, April 5th, 2011. Episode 37, The Chinese Clairvoyancy.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gammel from Chris Gammel's Analog Life.
Hey, Chris. What's happening?
Hey, Dave. Not much. Some big news on Twitter. We've seen a lot of stuff going on.
Big news? We have. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Let's get straight to the biggest thing. You and I were talking about this on Twitter.
Yep.
There is a really big piece of information here.
There is.
It's a big deal. I got a new recording rig. Right, it's in the mail. All right.
Fantastic.
It is in the mail. So we will have multi-track recording capability soon. I cannot wait.
Ah, fantastic. And, of course, the real news. Can we have a drum roll, please?
Oh, yeah. Hold on 1 second.
All right. Woohoo! And that was live, folks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No recording there.
Anyway, the real big news is that I am now a full-time video blogger.
Yay!
Almost two years to the day.
All it took.
Yeah, and yep. I didn't even realize that.
I know.
That it was 2 years. Somebody on the forum just went, it's 2 years, happy birthday. And I went, oh, shit, it is.
Yeah. Now, is that happy anniversary or happy birthday EEV blog, or how does that work?
I don't know. That's what they put in the forum post. I think it was happy birthday EEV blog. So,
right.
4th of April was my...
Yeah, that's great. That was
the
first video, huh?
6? Yeah, that was the first video.
It's 5th here, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Oh, no, it's the 6th here now, so there you go. And yes, I am now a full-time video blogger.
Why are you a full-time video blogger now, Dave?
Why am I a full-time video blogger? Because this is the other big news, which we will most likely have to talk about at length, because...
Yes.
As most people would have known or realized, maybe not. There are some people. I used to work work for Altium, the EDA.
I'm shocked.
I know.
How would I have ever found that out before, Dave?
Nobody. Super top secret. And that was the reason why I haven't been able to talk about, CAD software. Haven't been able to talk about Eagle or much. I've talked about a bit on this radio show, but, not doing a review of it or doing tutorials or things like that. And I haven't been able to talk about FPGA stuff
That's right. We can start talking about that now. That's pretty great.
We can, because I worked in the hardware department designing the FPGA boards, the FPGA development boards. So, yeah, that's why I couldn't really go and do a review of some competitor's FPGA board. But now I'm certainly free to do that.
Bring it on.
Yes, exactly. So,
it's such a weird situation now. I mean, it's like the whole, there's no restrictions for you now. It's great.
No, it's right. Yes, I'm a free agent, and I can say anything I like now, which is what I like to do.
Yeah, you're good at that part.
Yeah, I am. That's
just
what
try
I'm
and
known
stop
for.
You, right?
Exactly. Not even the lawyers can stop me.
Oh yeah. So let's hear the story. How did this all go down? What do you know? And where are we going from here?
Okay. Well, this wasn't a conscious decision on my part. I've been talking about going hopefully going full-time one day, but that was just like just based on the growth projections and how much I was earning in ad revenue and that sort of stuff. And it just looked like eventually one day, there was just continuous growth, and there still is. And it just looked like eventually one day, maybe a year or two down the track, I might have been able to make a conscious decision to leave full-time work and do it. No, Altium, I have been retrenched from Altium. A lot of people don't know what that term means, apparently.
I do not. I do not know what that means. Well, I didn't until before the show.
Right. Okay. Well, retrenched means laid off, I guess, in US speak. Altium have retrenched a lot of their staff, especially here in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, which we'll get on and talk about.
Yes.
because it's a very interesting topic, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. And so, yeah, it wasn't a conscious decision on my part at all. Went down very quick. And, yeah, I was made redundant yesterday. Today is my first day of freedom. So, and Chris got me out of the bloody... woke me up at 7... I had to start at 7:30 this morning.
Yep.
Thanks for that.
Yep.
You bastard.
Hey, man. Freedom ain't free.
Right. Okay. You got to, as they say in the US all the time, right? You got to fight for your, got to work for your freedom.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Man, it's a first day of freedom. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, a lot of people would come up to you and be like, wow, that's great. But it's got to be kind of like a, you know, not an empty feeling, but like a, it's got to be kind of weird, right?
It's not weird at this stage. I guess it might be weird when I go, oh, I can do anything I like today. I don't have to go to work. So maybe ask me that next week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Mm. Because at the moment it's like, well, you know, I don't know. It doesn't feel any different.
Yeah.
And it's nothing new for me though. I mean, I've taken time off work before to work on my own business and do things and just, well, not work at all, just take some time off.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
So how long were those stretches?
Some of them were like 6 months.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, because as I've explained, I've always had screw you money,
yes,
you know,
which is
up my sleeve,
important.
which means I can do stuff like that. Which means that's why I'm not panicking going out and getting a job straight. Oh, my God, I lost my job. I'm going to cry my eyes out and, mm-hmm. you know, and I have to go out and take any shit job that comes along. Well, no. so, yeah,
you
hopefully.
You take the shit job that you choose when you choose it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, hopefully I can take several or many months off and hopefully put some more time into the blog and other avenues and see how it goes. So
yeah,
that's the plan. Not that I really have a plan, but
see, now do you have like a list of videos that have been piling up for you?
I have a kind of sort of a list, but now I think it's different because that list was based on that I couldn't talk about, you know, Eagle and Design Spark all the other, you know, PCB stuff and FPGA stuff. So that's changed a bit, and they were based on the fact that I only had X amount of time available outside of my 9-to-5 job to work on stuff. Now I can devote more time to it, so I can maybe do some more in-depth blogs. I don't know. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Long post coming from Dave.
Right. If
why
the
stop
1 hour
at 60
ones
minutes?
Weren't,
yeah.
Exactly. Yes, there is no time limit on YouTube, so...
For oh, really?
Partners anyway. Yeah, there's no time limit. There's only a file size limit. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. If you compress the crap out of it, it's just you, blocky Dave, talking for 3 hours at a time.
Exactly. Oh, 3 hours is nothing. Apparently you can do,
oh,
HD
really?
Video for like 10 hours or something that fits within Yep.
As long as it's not copyrighted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wow.
I can rant on as much as I like.
Wow. So what Fantastic. Is the file size limit then?
It used to be like 10 gig, 15 gig, something like that. But I think it's been upped. I think it's changed. I think there is no file size limit now, actually.
Yeah.
They may have changed. Anyway, I've never tried. You basically get to the limitations of the system, and it'll just crash. I've heard of guys trying to upload these other YouTube partners, trying to upload these massive long videos just to see if they can.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the system just falls over. You know, so
yeah,
you know, your internet connect or the server just dies and it can't process that video. It's just I don't know. So
yeah.
Four hours later, I have no intention of doing that. It means I can maybe polish them a bit better, perhaps, you know.
Mm.
Actually
next career is a video editor.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
That's great. Man, I think it's kind of crappy that, you know, the job ended, but it's exciting.
Yeah, well,
you know, like there's some excitement to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Every step is a step forward, you know. It's never a step backwards. It's never a loss or whatever. It's always a positive thing. So change is as good as a holiday.
Yeah.
Well, I am on holidays now, which is great.
Yeah, you should go do a celebratory canyoning and spike some DMMs. And
yeah, absolutely. I don't know what I'll do with myself now. Honestly, there is no plan. I haven't thought about it. You know, it's... I don't know. There's a few kits that I want to get done, and there's, you know, blogs I want to do, and I want to tidy up the workshop, and yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I have to be a bit more self-sufficient now, because I've often relied on work stuff. You know, work have often have better stuff than I have at home in the lab here, so...
Oh, you mean for, like, gear, or you mean for...
Gear, as in, you know, especially, you know, in terms of, you know, soldering, surface mount, stuff
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, to think about is just the inspiration, too. I mean, like, not that work is always inspiring, but just, like, if you're encountering problems when you challenge with, you know, a work problem, not necessarily one that you bring to yourself, then, you know, that's something to write about or blog about or make a video about. That's kind of like just kind of tips your brain off, and you start thinking about it, and then you're like, "Oh, I should make a video about this."
Yep. Well, that's the other thing. As a non sequitur, blog, like how I call each blog a blog, right? I call each video a blog. Oh, I've done a blog. Here's my latest blog, and I've had people on Twitter, you know, say, "Oh, that's not correct. It's a blog post." Thank you very much. And it's not a blog. A blog is an entity. And it's like, give me a break. And or it's an entry. And, well, I'm going, well, I'm sorry, but I have a video blog. I have a radio show. I have a forum. Or they say it's a post. Just call it a post. I'm going, well, is it a post on a forum? Is it a post on a blog? Is it a post on a comment? Is it a what? I mean... You know,
I think those kind of things are just best ignored. You're like, all right.
Exactly.
Thank you for the input. See you later. I mean, right? I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always gotten those comments. You know, people who...
Semantic.
Semantic
experts, right?
Yeah, semantic experts. It's a blog post. Yeah, well, you try having a video blog in a forum and then try calling it a blog post
keep
every time.
Keep it all straight, buddy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just easier to say blog. Everyone knows what you're talking about. It's not like you go start up a new blog every day. Oh, go read my latest blog, and you think, oh, it's got a new blog. No, it's a blog
That'd be
post.
Like me.
Right,
start up a new one, write a post, and then be done.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how it seems lately.
How's the engineer's blog going?
Engineer blog's going okay.
Engineer blog.
Blogs.
Blogs. Engineerblogs.com. Yes.
.org.
.org. Surely you own the .com too.
No, I don't. That was not available.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So is there anything there, or is it just a squatter?
No, it's a squatter. I'm not paying anybody for that shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And speaking of paying someone, I we'll get back to the Altium thing in a little bit,
because
I would like to hear more about that. But paying someone, so we should probably mention this, because it is kind of big news too. So you kind of got overshadowed a little bit even.
Right.
So,
oh, yes, go for it. Yeah,
Texas
let's talk
Instruments
about this for half
bought,
an hour.
Bought National Semiconductor. That's kind of a big thing.
Yeah, that there was no drum roll there, but yeah, that's
kind of
big.
Right?
That's pretty huge. I mean, you know, Toyota, this massive, they've been gobbling up companies left, right, and center, it seems, and I keep saying National Instruments for some reason.
It's tough because it's Texas Instruments, then you want to say National Instruments.
And I actually did that on the blog the other day. I was actually playing it back, listening to it, and I said National Instruments when I meant National Semiconductor. It's like, I think everyone knew what I meant. Anyway. Yeah, that's big news. That is huge.
Yeah, it's a big news. Just I think even just from the fab aspect, because I mean, both of them fab their own parts. I'm not sure if they fab all of them. I think National Farms has some of theirs.
Probably not. Yeah.
Right, but I don't know. I've already been talking to people on Twitter about it, just about cross part numbers and stuff like that. Because National and TI, they both make a lot of great op amps, right? I love both of their
absolutely.
Op amps. And you know,
there's a lot of overlap there.
There is a lot of overlap, and that means that's going to be a focus for cost reduction, right? They're going to probably start trimming off numbers. And
well, but they haven't said that. If I think in the press release, doesn't it say that they're not going to do that? Part numbers
won't
change.
No one would say that up front, though.
Of course they wouldn't, but...
It's just over time, they'll start fading it out, right? And then, I think just in general, the entire ecosystem kind of... There's more there's fewer players, and so there's fewer competition. There's less competition, right?
Right.
Which kind of stinks for the op amp people.
It does. It does.
I mean, certain
things.
Many,
there's so many other areas they overlap too. It's not just the op amp. So I haven't gone through the list. God, it'd take you all day just to go through them and cross correlate between the different product portfolios.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
wow.
Well, and a lot of, I mean, this is, they're now the biggest, the third biggest chip maker and the biggest analog chip maker.
Yep.
So people know I do analog. This is a big deal for me. You know, like that. So just from that perspective alone, kind of, I mean, TI has a lot of other stuff too, right? Like they bought Luminary Micro.
Luminary Micro is for the 32 bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, they're kind of a,
That was a good fit. Nice, I said on, I think I did a Drive Time rant on that, and they're a decent fit. Because TI only had the 32-bit DSPs. You know, they didn't have a proper 32-bit micro solution.
Right, and then they had the MSP430, right, which
is 16-bit. Yeah,
right, and that's not high power. You can't do a lot.
No, that's right.
Fancy processing with that.
No, not at all.
That's 16-bit. I thought that was 32. I don't know why I thought.
No,
that.
That's 16. Yeah. It's sort of an. I'm not sure if they call it a true 16-bit architecture. It's more of a sort of a quasi 8, you know, 16-bit architecture,
kind of,
I think. Something like that anyway. But it's, I think it's closer to a true 16-bit than some of the others that claim to be, you know, 8/16-bit hybrids. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, some certain parts, like, no love lost there, you know, like a lot of the power converters. I mean, like, National makes some okay power converters. And, you know, they have, I heard a lot of people talking about, like, the app notes, like the National people write better app notes or something like that.
Right,
it's like, a lot of that stuff's going to transfer over, you know, like, I doubt TI is going to want to wipe out entire department. Well, maybe they will. But,
right.
You know, some of that talent's going to stick around, I'm sure, just because fewer chip makers in the market, you know, like, there's fewer places to go, so.
Yeah, of course. And so, you wanted to say, your advice... I saw on, I think it was on Twitter, that to TI, well, to,
oh, yeah.
Yes, no, was it to, anyway,
wait,
tell
it
us.
It was to National. It was
National.
Don't let TI make you videos.
Videos, that's right.
There's just some bad ones. I won't lay into them. I mean, it's just, you know, now I heard there's this world famous video blogger available now who could just make videos, so.
There is.
Maybe they could. You know, talk to him.
They can. I charge at an hourly rate.
There you go. Start doing contract videos. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, who knows? That'd be interesting. I don't know if
it would.
Yeah.
Well, I've kind of had a little baby steps into that kind of area. So, and there's a few things on the boil at the moment. So, yeah, I might be doing contract videos like that. So you may see my head around on various websites.
Well, hopefully just you'll make it a little more exciting than they make some of those.
Right.
Because like, there's the two extremes. There's the smash it, which is, I think we've talked about on here before, and where they just like smash up a product and look at what's inside. It's like...
Right, yeah.
And then the other one is like, they just have a guy sit in front of a PowerPoint presentation, and that's not even good in person, you know?
Yeah.
So anything's better than that.
I've got to admit that I'm talking to somebody at the moment who shall remain nameless, and they want me to do pretty much that. But they want my video. You know, they've asked me make the video fun and entertaining.
Make
but
it fun.
Also,
and here's your slides. Yeah.
And also, we want PowerPoint slides to go together, and we'll edit it so that So.
If they're listening, that is not what users desire. You know, it's like, ooh, you can use fancy clip art though.
It's so 1990s.
No thanks.
Yeah. Death by PowerPoint.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Incidentally, I'm not using Microsoft Office anymore. I'm using the Open Office. The Open Office,
yeah,
I'm using that because, well, yeah, I got my new computer and it didn't have Office on it, you know, so I didn't have a license, and I hate the new one, look and feel of the new Excel and everything else is shit. Yeah. So I've been using Open Office, which is great. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, it's still PowerPoint. I mean, it's still the same concept, though, right? So if you're sitting in a presentation and someone's just reading from slides, you know, that's when it really starts to stink.
I know. So, but unfortunately, that's all these corporate companies know how to do, you know?
Right, and that's why they need to hire brilliant video bloggers and radio shows, right?
They do, absolutely. People who just don't do it the corporate way because,
that's... they just got laid off from a corporation.
Right. Oh, dear.
So what about TI? I mean, that's all I can really think of in terms of like the... I mean, obviously there's a ton of overlap, but I think of like power and I think of like op amps and analog stuff. And
National's got a lot of power stuff, but I've always sort of shied away from their power stuff because their simple switcher stuff was always just wasn't that simple, as ironically.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it was kind of sort of my National was sort of my last choice for that, really. They were, not last, but they were down.
You're talking about designing FPGA type boards for that kind of thing?
I'm talking about power supplies. Power supplies for doing, doing the 1.2 volt rails and everything else and the, all those, because it's not uncommon to have, five different power rails in your, in a digital product these days.
Right, crazy. Exactly. Yeah.
5, and 3.3, 2.5, 1.5, 1.2, you know?
Yeah. 0.9.
Unbelievable. Yeah. 0.9.
Yeah, core voltages. Yeah, I think the thing that they were really targeting, and you could see it too if you go to like their Webbench thing. And you know, I liked Webbench. I think we talked about that on here before.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I'm not a huge fan of it. But the thing is, like, I didn't use it as much at work, but I started doing it for like side projects and stuff. And if you just need to crank out a design real fast, that's kind of where it was. It kind of popped out. And I think that's what they were really targeting. They were targeting like the simple switcher thing and the FPGA type power rails. What they're really trying to do is get people that were digital designers, right? And mostly knew how to code and were doing FPGA. They had to do everything, right?
And that's right.
Maybe didn't have as much power experience, just want to throw something down. That's the kind of thing that they targeted.
Yep.
And, you know, people pay a lot for that because it's easy and
oh, of course, yeah.
It makes sense for getting it out to market fast too. But if you have time, you can start cost optimizing and doing all the stuff you were probably doing on your designs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I found they weren't that cheap, the National parts either. So, you know, it's, because usually I'm going to go for the lowest cost, the simplest and lowest cost part first, as you would.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, unless you have some need for like a soft start.
Unless you have a specific need. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's so many players out there in that market, you know, there's, it's just endless, really.
I think they started getting into trouble too. Like, because remember they had that reorg a couple years ago,
right?
Was it years ago? Yeah, I guess it was when the downturn happened. You know, they laid everybody off. That's when Bob Peace stopped working for. Stopped working for him, but he wasn't. I think he got laid off. I don't know.
He was laid off, I believe. Yep.
I think he still consults for them or something, but
possibly
but not nearly as much. He's not like the main apps guy like like people remembered him from. So
let's talk about that. That was like a PR. That's like PR suicide, right? If you're gonna lay people off, why lay off your highest profile engineer?
Yeah,
like
I don't.
Public
I don't
profile
get that.
Engineer. He's massive. Yeah. He's been massive for 20 years. Everyone knows him, and everyone when they think of National Semiconductor, they think of Bob Pease. Right?
Well, I think they tried to play it off as like a retirement or something like that.
I'm pretty sure it was a retrenchment. Don't quote me on that, but all right, you
a
know,
what?
A retrenchment. That's a what retrenchment. We call it here in Australia.
Yeah.
Oh dear, Eddie.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a bad move. Really. I mean, sure, if Bob wanted to, maybe it was a voluntary thing. Maybe they'll offer involuntary redundancies, as we call them here. Where they, you know, just send out, look, if you want to go, you know, and you know, as long as you're not the CEO, we'll let you go. You know, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. They. It was actually back. It's funny. I just typed it into Google. The National Semiconductor. What did I say? Layoffs, I think.
Right. Yep.
And it said.
What'd you find?
It said it had like the autocomplete where it's like National Semiconductor layoffs 2008, National Semiconductor layoffs 2009, right. 2010. It's like, holy crap.
I love that. A lot of people have Googled it, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I love that Google history because it shows you what people have been typing in. Yeah, you know,
that's great. It's great.
Oh, it's terrific.
There's some funny ones too. I love seeing some of the funny ones that like auto complete for you.
Yep.
But yeah, so that was back in March of 2009. They laid off 1,725 people.
Wow.
And I think you know
out of how many? This is that say.
Oh no! Let me see. Wait, let me be here. That's 26% of their workforce.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I remember people complaining then about Brian Halla, the guy who's the CEO. And basically, they're saying that he's flushing the company down the toilet.
Right.
And, you know, it sucks that it happened. You know, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what the story is with Brian Halla, but they got rid of Peace, so that automatically turned a bunch of people against him just from that...
Well, I think that, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rubs everyone the wrong way, and yeah.
I know.
Mm.
I mean, he's such a lovable guy, too, right? He's so quirky.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, writes so often. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
well, he's been doing it for more than 20 years. He's been writing for Electronic Design Magazine. Sorry, almost mixed him up again.
Yeah.
We've done that before.
Yeah. So it says, let's see, March 11th, 2009, they did all his layoffs and they closed the plant in Suzhou, China. And then he announced his retirement in October 9th of 2009. And then since then, Don McLeod has been in charge.
Right.
So, I don't know, like maybe they were trying to shop around after that point, but whatever they were doing.
Well, I don't know. It's a shame because I hate when, you know, these big old names just
It's just going to get sucked
It's just going to get sucked into the void and you know, it will eventually dissipate. One of my favorite words, dissipate into the ether, you know. Yeah. And
well, I mean the one of the reassuring things is that TI is kept on the Burr Brown name. So, you know, they still have the OPA parts and the INAs and all those.
Yeah.
And those
are they
like,
still actually branded Burr Brown?
Yeah, they still call him that. So if you go to like a seminar or something, they'll still call him Burr Brown.
Oh, awesome.
That's good. I mean, so TI, pat on the back for that. Keep going with that. And, you know, keeping part numbers too. Like, you know, if you're developing new stuff, you don't have to make it the new stuff. Although TI is, I believe the same group is still developing OPA parts.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So those are still Burr Brown technically.
But then again, it's a two-way street there. I mean, as a company, you think they should consolidate. You know, when you buy a company, you really shouldn't keep that existing brand unless it has, you know, some huge. So I can understand them wanting to absorb things. I have more problem with actually being acquired in the first place, really, than, you know.
Yeah, well, if they don't start consolidating, you kind of question, well, why the hell do they do this?
Why?
It's just for the profits?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, why did you bother? Yeah, I mean.
Unless you start changing the name around. Someone on Twitter wrote to us about and put together a Texas National Semiconductor Instruments logo or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, that's like Danaher, right? You may want to be silent. They, you know, they're this big conglomerate no one's ever heard of, but they own, you know, Tektronix. They own Fluke. They own, Keithley, a whole bunch of big names, but they don't consolidate. You know, they keep those companies separate and manage them all separately and, well, mostly. And, you know, it's different. But when a company like TI, which is a major player in the same space, takes over another major player in the same space, you know, that's a different sort of kettle of fish, really.
Right. And, well, no one looks at TI and says, oh, TI, you know, like, there's definitely a lot of brand recognition there that, you know, they make a lot of great stuff, like, especially from the analog side of things. I mean, a lot of their parts are great, like especially those Burr Brown parts I talked about. I love those things, man.
Oh, I love Burr Brown parts.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. But and TI, of course, famous for their DSPs and other stuff. So it isn't just analog.
Yeah. I'm looking at the national webpage too. So the Webbench Designer kind of, and just the front page too. So it seems like a lot of the audio stuff too. You know, and that's the thing, when that 2009 thing started happening, you could see them start transitioning towards these large consumer market kind of things. You know, like they still have a lot of sensitive parts that I use a lot, but you know, they started going towards mass market type stuff like audio stuff, LED lighting, power management, that kind of stuff where you're going to sell, you know, it's great from like a executive standpoint because you look at it and you're like, oh, we're going to sell a million units, right?
Yeah.
But and it's a lot less niche and niche and
niche.
you know, and there's a lot less you have to. Maybe you don't need as much tighter process control, that kind of thing, like in the fab.
Yep.
So you can crank the stuff out more. And I think they even started pushing stuff to TSMC at that point. I'm not completely sure
right.
about that.
Right, possibly. I think they may have. And National do a lot of niche stuff, you know, lots of LED solutions, lots of data conversion solutions, you know, and they do VGA, you know, display drivers and, you know, lots of timing stuff,
right?
PLEs and, it is.
Yeah.
They're the things that are used in your TVs and your stuff like that. So,
yeah. And they, so they do some things really well and other things they just do a lot of, right?
Yep, that's right.
So it'll be interesting to see as they start transitioning the portfolio over, kind of just to see how much of the power they start getting rid of. I mean, maybe they'll start getting rid of TI stuff, but I think TI owns Unitrode. That's the company
they
bought.
They do. Yeah.
So, and that's a really, that's just like a Burr Brown name, right? So Unitrode made some great like switcher stuff. And I have one of their app books, I think. Transformer design kind of books.
Yeah.
So, and you know they're starting to go into sensors and a lot of sensor kind of stuff and that and that kind of thing, which kind of might be selling to Altium. I mean, who knows?
Right.
So let's hear a little bit about the Altium.
Well,
plans.
One more thing with that.
Okay.
One more comment is that are National too big to absorb?
Oh, like antitrust kind of thing?
Well, no, but just in terms of their sheer product portfolio, I mean, you'd have to dump, you know, half of it or more. I'm curious to see how long they will actually run National as a separate entity. They may not. They may go, oh, shit, yeah, we bought them, but this is just too darn hard. You know, we can't possibly, you know, merge groups, so we'll just run them as a separate company. It's easier and take the profits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's their intention. I don't know, because they didn't mention in the press. Well, they never do mention in the press release because that's a forward-looking thing, and they don't like doing that.
Yeah.
So it's a technical term, forward-looking statement.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to have those.
Right. Well, Altium do that, so we'll get on to that. Altium love doing that. but, yeah, these big companies who take over other companies usually don't say those sort of things. So
yeah, I don't know about the actual portfolio and like managing it, but I know for sure that one thing they want to do is try and like squash down the number of fabs they have, because
that is expensive,
you know.
Oh yeah.
and they both do have their own fab. I mean, Richardson, Texas, TI's fab out there is huge.
Mm.
And they're actually,
they may consolidate in that area, but not so much in the product portfolio area. They may
maybe
make better use of. I think they mentioned that in the press release, didn't they? They were going to make better use of their, their fabs. So,
another thing they point out is that the TI has one of the only 300 millimeter, so 12 inch wafer, analog fabrication facility. Just because a lot of those were running on older processes. You know, they would run on like 180 nanometer. And,
oh,
or even 90.
Ancient, right? Jeez, you can print that at home these days, can't you?
Nice.
That's
what you can do with your spare time, Dave. Just start
a
chip printer. There you go. There's your road to riches and stardom.
Fortune and glory, kid.
There you go.
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see how much they actually push to Texas. And I think that I'm kind of looking at the National Wiki page right now. And, interesting. I did not know that they owned Fairchild, too. So National acquired Fairchild. Back in 87.
That was a long time ago. Yep.
Yeah. So that's two big, you know, juggernauts that are now.
Yep.
I mean, so TI is big, man.
I know. They are massive.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they have a fab out in Portland. I think that's Maine. I think it's Portland, Maine.
Right.
I hope I'm not wrong. But, yeah.
Anyway,
so we'll,
my guess with that whole thing is that they'll just consolidate behind the scenes in terms of fabs, and National will still exist for many, many years as a separate entity. That's my guess.
Well,
I haven't really thought about it, but I just think it's too hard. You know, when a company that size is just, you know, it's easy when you buy Luminary Micro. You know, they just got micros, and you know, bang, we can just slot that in, relabel them as TI,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you know. That's it. Easy.
Yep.
But
well. I think no matter what, we are going to see weeks and weeks of analysis on this because, honestly, this is like the biggest freak out to happen to technical magazines. Yep.
And no one seemed to have an inkling of it, I don't think. It seemed to come as quite a shock to most people I've spoken to. So.
I was talking to someone who said they predicted it a while back.
Right.
But,
okay.
But I was like, yeah, show us the stock transactions and I'll believe it, right? It's like it's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to say one thing, but put your money where your mouth is when
that
happens, right?
Yep.
Someone's retiring on their earnings from that $12 jump or whatever the stock
was. That's right, yeah.
That's a little
Speaking
different.
Of not being able to predict something, let's get on to Altium.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about it since we're allowed to now.
I am allowed to. I don't think I can actually say, I don't think it's possible for me to say anything that I'm not supposed to because I don't really know anything more than what's in the press release, really.
He's basically clueless, folks.
I'm basically clueless, and this is one of the problems. Right, the announcement, we will put a link up, because this is big news in its own right, because Altium, EDA, Protel, is a much-loved EDA tool by many, many tens of thousands of engineers worldwide. And,
right.
So it certainly deserves to be talked about in its own right.
Yeah.
I certainly would have talked about it if I hadn't ever worked there. So
we should state that. I mean, you still like the software. You still plan on
I've
using
been
it.
Using Altium for back since the Protel one Protel Auto Tracks 1.6. I've been using it for 20 plus years, and I love it. It's my favorite tool. It's the only tool I've really used. I've played with a couple of others, but...
Basically clueless, folks.
Right. other than tools. Altium. Yeah, exactly. Because it's the tool I grew up with and I love.
Right.
And
yeah.
All of my comments will come from a user perspective, because I'm going to continue to use it.
Yep.
And, you know...
Unless they find you and shut you down
it.
For saying all
Unless
these things
they,
you're about
exactly.
to say.
Right. And, you know, and I'm outspoken, and I'm going to say my comments from a user perspective, because I don't think I'm too dissimilar to the other users. So, you know, this is not
Maybe
coming
louder.
From an ex-employer. A bit louder.
Yeah.
I have been known to be a bit loud.
That's okay. Yeah. That's what you're known for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll put up the press release announcement, but basically Altium are relocating their global headquarters to Shanghai in China. As you know, it's an Australian company. It's famously an Australian company, you know, big Australian success story taking on the world, and all that sort of stuff. And they are moving lock, stock and barrel to China, and as a result a whole bunch of people were made redundant or laid off in US speak, and I don't know the exact numbers of how many, but it's a lot, basically. And the idea is to move all their R&D to China and pretty much, start again, really. They're moving their core R&D over there. It's still up in the air of who's going to go and stuff like that. So I won't talk about that. But
Right. And that's not really relevant to the user side of things.
No, it's not.
Since we are solidly on the user side right now.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, And this came out of the blue, by the way. This, if it was in planning for the last year, nobody knew about it. It's as big a shock to me as it is to everyone else. So,
right. And I should state right now that I am on the Altium website, and it is not on the website. There is a third-party press release company. So I don't know how much they actually don't want to, it's a press release, it's out there, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like it's splashed all over like the national site says, hey, we just got bought by TI. It's not like, hey, we're moving all our stuff to China.
Right. Well, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they know that it's not going to be a popular decision, as many Altium decisions, because Altium is a company that likes to push the envelope. They always pride themselves on being, 5 years ahead of the market. They're a visionary company, not a nuts and bolts.
A commodity player, right?
They pride themselves as a visionary company, and occasionally they've got it right, and occasionally they've got it wrong. And so, in my humble opinion,
user
you can
opinion.
Look at the user opinion. You can look at the, well, you can look at the financials yourself and, you know.
Right.
You know, you can, you know, all this
stuff.
Well,
we talk about electronics here, so we won't talk about financials here.
Exactly. But anyway, they're moving, you know, I don't really have a problem with that because the company's not doing great financially at the moment. Yeah. So I can understand if they want to move to China and lower their labor costs. You know, that's great. You know, I certainly wish them all the best. But it's not just the move to China. It's the fact that they're now publicly stated that they're focusing on... Oh, there are so many...
Oh, here we go. It's at the top of the press release. The ecosystem of devices.
Ecosystem of devices. Not ecosystems.
Okay. Echo.
There's no
echo,
H in there.
Echo. I know, right? All right, you win this time.
Ecosystem of devices, and other terms they're throwing around is this Internet of Things. I'm using the quote marks, you know,
right,
and there's
right.
so many other wank words.
Here's my question about the Internet of Things. Wasn't that in the early 2000s when my refrigerator was going to order me another carton of eggs?
Right,
I mean, that's what I think
from
of,
a touch
right?
screen on the front. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think of.
The internet was going to be pervasive was the term, you know.
Well, it has done that, but in a different meaning of the word.
Yeah, exactly.
Pervasive or perverted? Oh, that's what it is.
And, of course, nothing they say in this area is wrong because it's true. But, you know, there's always a but. It's only true in certain areas. It's true in terms of, you know, your iPhones and your, you know, and your all your other consumer type stuff, right? But
right.
I don't know. Is it relevant to an EDA company? Well,
that's
what can
they
say?
As an EDA company, right? I mean,
well, that's well exactly because they want to get more into the content side of things, and they want you know IP and content and solutions for developing internet-enabled applications, which is
right.
great.
So okay? we should talk about that some more. So basically, as far as you understand it, as far as I understand you explaining it to me, the Internet of Things or the ecosystem yeah
of devices
right
yeah
it would be like embedded systems with an Ethernet connection basically communicating
Wireless.
Data back
yep.
so
yep.
like smart power meters
smart devices yep
smart
Altium have done a white paper on this you can have a read we might post a link they believe that every electronic device in the future will be internet enabled internet connected which is great, and it's probably true in the consumer sphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But, there's always a but.
And you cannot lie.
How many devices are there out there that simply won't need that? Industrial stuff, just other everyday, you know, there's millions. There's countless. I wouldn't even want to count the number of boards which won't be internet enabled.
Right.
So, you know, and
or
so
even, well, what about, like, internet versus, like, intranet, right? Also that. I mean, like, there's certain
exactly.
things that can't be on the internet, right?
That's right. And, in fact, there's a lot of companies who, because Altium is going to this the Altium Live solution, which means you're always, the tool is always tied into the web and live updating and content,
like
which is great, you know, cloud-based. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great solution, but it's not for everyone. You know, not everyone is allowed to do that. In fact, there's so many engineering companies out there that don't even have an internet connection on their desktop because they're not allowed to due to security concerns and all sorts of other, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've certainly worked at companies like that where, you know, if
recently?
You want the internet, there is, well, certainly in the last 5 years, yes.
Yeah.
Where they have there's one computer in the whole company and it sits in the corner and it's it's the internet connection and it's not tied to the network and if you want to go surf a website, you have to go physically sit at that computer. And
really? I don't know. Do you think that still happens?
Absolutely.
Have you talked to anyone that still happens?
Yes, that still happens.
Wow.
That still happens.
I'm impressed.
Especially military companies, other companies which have...
Are
bound by their customers, i.e. defense companies and stuff like that, you know, because you're dealing with our secret data.
Right, right.
You know, you have to physically have a disconnect between the internet and your internal systems.
Yeah.
That's end of story. So, you know, that is real. And it happens at more companies than you would think.
That's crazy. And that's actually that story that we mentioned with the Iranian centrifuges. Remember, they actually had to jump with a jump drive or something like that, and it took so long. Apparently, there's a talk too. Someone, Harry, wrote in on our suggestion page about that. There's a TED talk about that, so I'll post a link to that. So just please as an aside there. But that's crazy. You don't think about a lot of companies that can't have an internet connection to desk, but I guess that is the case, huh?
That's right. And and it's more there's more companies out there than you would think. So yep. Anyway, so Altium have said that they want to focus more on this and less on their core tool. This is they've stated this publicly on the forums and various other places, and it's, you know, that's great. Good luck to them.
Dave respectfully disagrees, or
I respectfully disagree. Their core product, I mean, they've got the best PCB design tool on the planet, bar none, in my opinion, you know, and a lot of people think the same way. And chase, you know, this Internet of Things stuff, I think is wrong. Good luck to them. I hope it works. But I would love to see focus on the core tool. And that's what all the customers, from my perspective, that's what the customers are saying. The customers are saying,
right.
And Altium have admitted this, that they know it's not popular, but they're a visionary company, and trust us, in 10 years' time, you'll be thanking us. Well,
yeah, you almost wish they'd spin it off, spin off just the layout software, right? Or the EDA software.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Probably not going to do that, because that's their cash cow that then allows them
I can assure you, that is their cash cow. Most people simply use the core tools. Because Altium do FPGA tools as well. In fact, they've spent the last 10 years building up the product, which, you know, it's now an embedded solution. You know, it's a complete tool set, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty funky. The FPGA stuff you can do in it's very impressive.
I'll tell you, Dave, the first time I ever saw that board you designed, the nano board, I was so freaking confused about what the heck I was looking at.
Why is that?
I didn't know what the heck I was looking at. I was like, what am I using this for? I finally figured out it's like a development platform, right?
And it's simply a development board.
Right.
But it's tightly integrated into Altium Designer.
Was
that's
so
the key.
Confused.
Really?
I've been meaning to tell you that, but I was just so
confused.
Maybe it's just me. Right. I don't know. But yeah.
Well, that's sort of, maybe that's reflected in the sales, because they didn't. Well, you know, you can check it out for yourself. You know, we sold, you know, quite a few of them, but it's certainly not a huge business for the company. So they spent 10 years building that up, and
they employed Dave Jones in the meantime.
And they employed me, in the meantime. And you know, they spent a lot of money, and 10 years of the... In fact, that was the reason, I believe that was the reason they floated the company, was so that they could get money so they could acquire all these companies with all embedded technology and FPGA technology.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and 10 years down the track, their core business still generates most of their revenue. PCB schematic tool. So
you got to imagine that all these embedded devices that are embedded in internet, right? It's going to have the devices you're talking about, FPGAs and everything. So
it certainly does. Yeah.
So that's a good base.
Unfortunately, there's, you know, it's the old problem. Many companies have tried to be everything to all people.
Yep.
And it's traditionally never worked. And Altium have tried, and I'm not going to say they failed in the FPGA domain, but it certainly wasn't the success they were hoping for. And, you know, that's a bit of a shame, because it is a really nice tool, but that's just the technique. There's so many technicalities involved in FPGA and embedded solutions. There's so many tools out there. Companies trust certain
quirks,
tools, and they don't want to move to you. They don't. You know, they're as cool as your tool might be, it may not do exactly what they want, so they're not going to move. So it's hard to be, you know, that all things to all people. And now Altium are trying to do it with this internet stuff, you know, this Internet of Things or ecosystem of devices. So they want to focus more on, you know, developing or helping guys like us develop internet-enabled applications, which is great. But, I guess you've got to ask, is it a good move for the company?
It's kind of weird, too, because...
I don't know. you know.
You know, you think about other companies that have done that, and some are successful being everything to their users, right? I mean, look at Apple, right? People that are with Apple wouldn't go anywhere else, right? And they love everything about every Apple product.
Yeah, true, but Apple don't have a solution for everything.
That's true.
Do they?
That's
right?
True.
So, you know, they're... they're very successful because they make cool stuff which people
cool
love
stuff.
And they stick with it, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, it's... I don't know if you can make the comparison to sort of... you know, because Altium is an EDA company. Their core tool is an EDA tool.
Yeah, software, right.
And that's what people use it for. I can tell you that the majority of users... it's no secret. The majority of users use... it as a PCB and schematic tool as they always have. So, you know, that's the bottom line. And
they've
said they're going to focus less on that and more
that's
on
too
the
bad.
Embedded. That's I think it's too bad because I want that solid, you know.
And there's always features
PCB
you can
tool.
Add on, right? But it's just it's like you said, it's people
exactly.
don't want to or the company probably doesn't want to necessarily just focus on that, even
no,
though they could take more market share.
Yeah.
So. Well, maybe you can go back as a consultant and tell them all the things
no
you want changed about their software when they realize
right.
that that's making them money.
From a user. Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And they've always been a visionary company. I don't think they've ever been content just to be number one in just PCB schematic. You know, that's not. And I think that's a shame because they could have, you know, I think they've got the tool. I think they've got the world's best tool and they could have owned everything from the hobbyist up to not quite the ultra high end, but you know, the mid to high end range. They could have owned that entire market, I thought.
Yeah.
But they haven't done so. As everyone knows, they haven't released a low cost version, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have talked about that before when we mentioned Eagle and Design Spark and how they don't want to release that.
No, exactly. They just don't. They're not interested in competing at the low level. I don't know if that will ever change in the future. I have no idea. I have no inside knowledge there. But I think that's a shame because it's a great tool, and I would love to see people ditch Eagle and take up Altium because I think it's a vastly better tool. And they've just abandoned that fight. I think
time to start doing some reviews, Dave. I think you're allowed to now.
Just I'm allowed to, yes.
Keep 10 minutes. 10 minutes max, huh?
Right. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey, yes. I wanted to catch some other things before we're done for the week, because we got about 10 minutes left, I think.
Oh, we do. Yeah. 8 minutes.
I wanted to mention your 555 contest video. That was pretty great.
Yes, I caught a few people with that, apparently.
You did.
I wasn't sure.
So why don't you explain that real quick?
Right. If you haven't seen the video, I did a video where I had found a hidden Easter egg in the 555 timer. Where
40 years later.
40 years later, if you tune it to, if you take the standard astable circuit and you tune it to 55.5 kilohertz exactly.
Yeah, and you leave off pin 7, is that right?
And you leave off pin 5, which is the modulation. Yeah, if you leave off pin 5, then it would modulate the output signal at 55.5 hertz. And and a lot of people believed it.
Yeah, and you got the suggestion later that you should have turned off comments for it, but a couple people figured it out and were pissed.
Exactly. And a lot of people built it up and tried to replicate it.
Oh, that's great.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. And I will post a video of behind the scenes of how I did it, because a lot of people don't know how I did it. Although I think on the forum last night somebody finally cracked it.
Apparently,
there is a screenshot they captured. My video wasn't I didn't hide it all in the video, and they discovered they discovered how I did it. I won't tell you how I did it. I'll leave that for the reveal video.
That's good. That's good.
Alright.
So another...
Sorry, Hans, if he's listening.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, because in the I say sorry to him in the follow up video. I've already done. I filmed it at the same time. I thought I'd film it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good.
It's
already
done for that.
All right.
So the other April Fool's joke that got me, I don't know about other people, So right. Brian Fuller of EE Times, he sends out the EE Life newsletter, and right. I think I might have to copy paste it. I didn't have a link for it, but I have the actual email. I'll try and copy paste it in. Basically, he broke the news that Obama had dissolved his cabinet and replaced it all with engineers. And I don't know why, but I just got taken. I was like, what? That's a, oh my God.
It's utopia.
I don't know why I possibly thought that could have happened, but
oh goodness.
Brian maintains that it could still happen too. I was talking to him about it, but I don't really necessarily
well,
think
well, I guess
that
maybe it worked because there had been those stories about Obama was, you know, getting more, it was you know, praising engineering and it's going to be the savior of America and yada yada.
Right. Yeah.
So
and
I guess
Jeff Immelt on the board or on that council, the job council or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what sucked you in, I think. That was in your subconscious. That's why I chose the 555 thing, because I knew that was on everyone's lips,
that's,
you know,
that's
the 555
man.
Timer contest. So, and that sort of psychology stuff works.
Yeah.
There's another April Fool's Spark Fun. Did you see the Spark Fun one?
I don't think I saw it.
The soldering iron?
No, I didn't see that one.
I'll have to put it up. Anyway. Yeah. Spark Fun put up on their website, you could buy a soldering iron kit. And it was a Heiko 926, you know, so they would sell it as a kit. To, you know, you solder it together yourself. And and they say to put it together, all you need is to buy another kit, and then you can...
that's pretty good,
The old circular argument of a soldering iron kit. for beginners, if you don't have a soldering iron, build your own.
Yeah.
Oops, how do you do it? I need a soldering iron. What? And it was well done. And they actually pulled apart a Heiko 96 and they photographed like as all the separate parts.
So
they showed, here's your kit, here's what you get when you buy the kit,
Yeah.
it's brilliant.
That's really great.
Yeah, that was nice. So and of course, they were out of stock. They were sold out instantly.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Right. Right.
So people were trying to add it to their shopping cart, you know?
Yeah. That's great.
Brilliant stuff. Good on your Spark Fun.
So speaking of the 555 contest, we are still not done. So sorry about that to everybody who's still paying attention to it.
I want my damn spreadsheet.
I know. Dave wants his damn spreadsheet.
Speaking of which, I have finished judging the RX contest, the RX design contest. Yes,
that's
and
great.
Geez, that was hard.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. It's not easy.
I know. That's why I did it. That's why I wasn't going to be roped into the 555 contest because I knew you'd have hundreds of entries.
Yeah. So you had 30 entries, you said, and you had to judge all those.
There were 36 entries. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah,
that's still
it
a
took
lot
a
though, because those are more complex projects too, right?
They're more complex. They've each one has a video like the 555 timer contest and stuff like that. And I'm here to tell you, people, a little tip: if you're going to enter contest, documentation is important.
Oh yeah. That is one of the biggest things I found out, too.
That is one of the hugest things. Even though the 555 timer contest didn't have official rules in that in that regard, whereas the RX design contest and your circuit seller contest and all the other more formal contests, they have these rules and they have them for a reason. If it says you must do an abstract, you must do, you know, and the RX design contest said you should do a video.
Yep.
You know, it'll help your chances. And people went, well, I didn't do a video because, you know, it's just a couple of things on the screen.
Well, right.
You know, that's no reason. You should have just done a video. All I wanted was a video of the thing, even if it's just the board sitting there,
and
there's text on the screen, but at least you can talk about it. That's what I wanted. I wanted to hear you talk about the design in the video, and you got bonus points for that. So a lot of people lost out, you know. And Jerry did not do any text documentation at all.
Uh-huh. She just did the video stuff?
She did some cool videos, which were cool, but no text documentation. So there were points
toast.
For...
Oh, yeah. You had like a
rubric
or something?
There were points for text and video. So, she lost points there. Sorry, Jerry.
Sorry, Jerry. You should say sorry about something else, Dave.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yes, I formally hereby...
Yeah, this is our second apology. The first one was for messing up design news versus electronic design.
Oh, yes.
Our second
David
formal
Jones
apology.
David Jones hereby formally apologizes to Jerry Ellsworth for a comment made last week where I said, I won't even repeat it. But anyway, I apologize for the comment I made last week. It was not intentional, and it is, to my defense, it is a confusing name.
It was a mix-up of...
Yes.
Fat Man and Circuit Girl.
It was a mix of...
Of that. We'll just say a mix of that.
Fat Man and Circuit Girl. There you go.
Yeah, Dave wrote it out. He had it. Yes. He rehearsed before the show.
Right. Sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And she declared war on me.
Yeah. She's got another war going on with Ben Heck right now, so I think...
Right.
I think you're safe for now, plus the whole, ocean thing.
Right, yes. She's not going to come around and burn down my lab. Yeah. Right.
And so one last thing I wanted to mention about design contests, since we're probably wrapping up talking about those for a little while. I've gotten a couple things about, you should do a 741 design contest. And recently, Gary wrote in about the 12F629 pick contest is an 8-bit, 8-8 pin.
Oh, is there? Is there a contest out there?
No, he's saying that we should do it. We should have a user-based contest.
And I Right.
Yeah, I said, we're kind of busy. I mean, it's just one contest a year, basically. So thank you for all the suggestions. But basically, I think, though, that kind of thing is perfect to go back to, Microchip and say, why don't you guys have this contest? You basically are handing them a big old chunk of social media.
Of course. Yeah.
Especially if they keep it simple. An 8-bit thing, like he said, it would be restricted because it's a 1K memory. So it's the same kind of thing as a 555. It's simple to learn. It's simple to implement, but you can do some really cool stuff. And the more elegant the solution, the better the contest is going to be.
I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So if Microchip's listening to, listen to Gary. The 12F629 pick is Gary's candidate for the next design contest. And and of course, users are always welcome to do that too. Me and Jerry didn't do much to make it special. It was just
exactly. It just happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's cheap and the development tool, could give away a dev, they could give away a dev tool and everyone gets it,
So that
maybe we'll have to put that to them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I'm sure Steve Sange listens to the Amp Hour every week.
You're still supposed to send him that clip, Dave.
Oh, I know. I was supposed to send him the audio clip of that. Yeah.
Maybe you can bundle it all together. With all your free time now,
absolutely.
You can go bump elbows with all these, chip executives. You can go talk to the TI guy, be like, hey, what are you thinking? And then the Steve Sange guy be like, hey, check out this design contest. And every time you email him, you'd be like, and by the way, I am available to make videos now. I'm a free agent.
I am. That's right.
Yeah.
Gun for hire.
That's right. But the Amp Hour gets you for free.
Right. Oh, goodness. But, the fear is that, if they do it, they'll just goof it up. Could go into big corporate mode and, and just...
Restrictive and everything else.
And everything else. And,
Doesn't stop them from trying, though. I mean, you can always...
No. It
doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah, very true. Anyway, I think our Amp Hour's up.
It is, and I'd like to remind people, we got a bunch of suggestions last week after we reminded people, so send us tweets, send us suggestions on the suggestion page of the Amp Hour, and if you want to hear about anything or you got some opinions on what we talked about this week, you can always leave it in the comments section, too.
Yes, especially the Altium. Thing, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of hot topic. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure.
And I do wish Altium all the best. I hope it works for you. I don't necessarily agree, but
respectfully disagree.
Yeah, not so much with the move, but with the
direction.
Well, which is bad enough. But with the direction, the focus, focus on the Internet of Things stuff. So, anyway, maybe more about that next week. Who knows?
Maybe,
my comments are endless.
Oh yeah. You're a wealth of opinion.
I am.
Yeah.
I am indeed.
All right. We'll talk to everybody next week.
All right. That one flew by. See you guys.